This is Ryan Suitcase, the podcast, episode 2. What we got is an amazing episode with Johnny Automatic. You better enjoy this. It's not the name of the song, I'm just saying you better enjoy it. Johnny Automatic with the song Not About You off the album Robots, Machines, and Weapons. Now, I could go back and re-record that, but I'm not. What's the point in it? So, that album came out in 2014. Johnny Automatic, you're wondering, why does the name sound familiar? There is some robot stuff, some art there that's associated with the name. But this band is pretty important in Chicago because it features the original drummer from 88 Fingers, Louie, which is pretty amazing. They've done a lot of shows, played with Strung Out, Boll Weevils. No upcoming shows that I see, but if you go to Johnny Automatic rock.com, or you can check out Facebook. Everyone's got a Facebook at Johnny Automatic. You'll find a bunch of good stuff. But don't forget to support your local venues in Chicago. Bee Kitchen, Subterranean, one of my personal favorites. And Kickstand Productions is doing a lot of shows at Subterranean. But the unique part is that they're actually utilizing the bottom part. So that means more shows, more local bands. If you're a local band listening to this and you're interested in playing one of those shows, I can't help you out. But if you contact Kickstand Productions, I'm sure they'll be interested. And if you forget or any of this information, which makes no point because you could actually just listen to it again. It's not like it's radio. But in case you want to contact me, RyanSuitcase@gmail.com. Upcoming next is Death in Memphis, Our Place in the Dirt, with Way Back Home, new EP. You're going to hear an interview afterwards, so stick around for that, or pause and just listen to it later, but I recommend you do. This band is amazing because it has the X, well, X the Bomb, not the Bomb from mid-90s saying, but the Bomb. Interesting story. My mom was a substitute teacher in 7th grade, mid-90s, and she saw Mrs. Kelly is the Bomb, D-A-B-O-M-B, the Bomb. And she was really worried because she thought, oh man, that means I stink. But she said, somebody wrote that, Ryan. And I said, Mom, that's so awesome. That means you're the best sub ever. And now you know some information about my mom. So they just released this EP. You can buy it on Bandcamp. Minimum is $6. I recommend you give them more, but it, again, it has X the Bomb and a bunch of other Chicago bands. The Bomb may sound familiar because that has a member from Naked Ray Gun, an ultimate, well-respected Chicago punk band. If you've never heard their music, do. I love their stuff. The Rivals, saw them cover their song. That was pretty unique. Mainly because they were playing a 70-minute set. This is probably about 10 years ago, and they were running out of songs. So they played a bunch of covers. So enough of me talking and saying the word so. This is Death in Memphis with Way Back Home, off of Our Place in the Dirt, on Ryan's Suitcase. Stick around for the interview.
hope these words will somehow find you someday. You'll be back again.
This is Ryan Suitcase. We're here with Death in Memphis, if I can say it right. I'll let you guys introduce yourselves.
I'm Steve Custer, and I play lead guitar.
I'm Paul Garcia. I play guitar and I sing.
Larry Ola, drums.
How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, living the dream.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
So you guys just came out with an EP. You had an EP release show at Liars Club. It was packed, absolutely awesome. Tell us about the EP that just came out.
It's actually our second EP. The first one we put out was, we were going through lineup changes for a while. We had been till probably just before releasing this EP. And so it kind of was like under the radar kind of thing. We didn't do a release party or anything for it. But now that we got a little more solidified with the lineup, we decided to make a bigger deal out of it, I guess. There's five songs on it. Two tracks are tracks that me and Steve did in the very first demo we did. We just rehashed them, I guess you could say. Because there's a bit of a change with, like I said, with our lineup change. We don't have a keyboard player anymore, so originally we recorded that with a keyboard. But there's, and then there's a couple new songs, one really new song, and I don't know, it's a little different, and I think all of our stuff's a little different, being that we don't, our stuff really kind of runs the gamut as far as genres or styles, I guess. So this one's like where the first EP had some stuff that had a bit of a country twang, this one kind of doesn't. It's more of a rock record.
It's a little bit more of a rock record. This one's got a little bit different feel.
Okay. And from the live show, from hearing the new stuff, I mean, that was absolutely amazing. Where's your guys' favorite place to play in Chicago?
I always go with Cobra for this one. I love Cobra Lounge.
I like Liars. People are right up in your face.
Yeah, Liars is it's always cooler to play smaller places just because there's more of there's a better intimate feel with crowd and, you know, band, right, rather than being on a giant stage and looking down at everybody.
It took us a little bit of time to get attuned to Liars, I think. I think the first couple times we played there, we were on kind of a mixed bill, and it was a little bit odd, and I kind of felt like it took us a little bit of time to get the hang of playing Liars, but I think we've got it now.
Yeah, and that kind of goes along with, like, what I said about lineup change. Like, our old drummer was a bit slower, on the slower side, whereas Larry has a bit more aggression and has a little more speed to him. So I think that kind of makes a bit of a difference as far as, like, us being comfortable with it. Because initially, when me and Steve do most of the writing, so when we started, we had an idea in our head, and then the drummer we had before was not quite on point with what we wanted. So now it's just a little more comfortable, and I think that comes through, especially with that show being fairly one of our first shows after everyone in this band that's in it now knows everything.
Yeah, everybody's pretty much. Yeah, we're pretty much on board now, and we've got a good solid lineup that knows what's going on.
And you guys are all veterans of the Chicago punk scene, being in the Bomb and different other bands. Do you guys think that influenced you, how you guys tackle Death in Memphis, the recording, the live shows, the booking, and all that jazz?
No, I don't really think so. I mean, as far as booking, maybe a little bit, because we can always say, you know, I mean, that always helps with anybody. We can always say, well, you know, we're members of these bands. So there's a little bit of familiarity.
Yeah, there's some experience there. Correct. You know?
And so people know we're not, even before they hear us, I guess, sometimes they kind of know.
They're not going to get a garbage band.
Right. Yeah.
For sure. Right.
Most nights.
Yeah, most nights.
Hey, we pulled off the shots on.
And being in those bands, do you guys play shows with them? Do you feel like that helps you guys just with connections and being like, hey, you guys will, you know, produce our record or whatnot?
Well, the bomb isn't really around anymore, but we still, Steve talks to Zadi a lot. He doesn't really help us as far as like that aspect of producing or anything. He really has nothing to do with this. We've played with Larry's band Squared Off a few times. I don't know. It's hard to say if that helps it in any way, really. I mean, we're just doing our thing, and I mean, if it helps on someone else's end that we don't know about, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair enough. If it helps, you know, it helps and we don't know about it, that's, you know, fair enough. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm still...
We're not looking to ride on it.
Yeah, not necessarily looking to ride on it. I'm still friends with everybody I've ever been in a band with, to a degree. Most of it, but anyway. So, you know, there's good relationships there. And, you know, I guess it helps when you've got some experience and you can say we've been around for a while. You know, we've done this and we've done that, you know.
And with the music scene kind of almost being somewhat anti-label lately, a lot of bands are trying to go by themselves. Do you guys feel like you guys would go into labels?
Yes, we want a label, and we want lots of money, and I want a big bus and an airplane. Yeah, I want it all, man. I want it all.
We want it all. And we're just doing it ourselves. I have sent it out a few places and have a little bit of interest. Whether or not we go with a label, I don't know if... We're not really thinking about, like, we need to do this, we need to have a label, we need to, you know, do this and go this route. We're just doing it. I mean, like I said, we've been in the scene for a while, so, in other bands, so we kind of know how things work, so, you know, we can pull it off ourselves. But, I mean, it does help when you got somebody in your corner that, you know, can do more than you can do.
If a label's going to get on it, they need to get on it pretty quick, because the more we do ourselves, the more the price goes up. I'll say that right now. I'm just, you know, the more work I have to do on my end, the more I'm charging you later.
Well, you hear it first on Ryan's Suitcase.
My personal view on that is the only thing a label's good for is distribution. Getting the music out there in other outlets, we can't get it there.
Which is always a good thing.
Yeah.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah, and there is the thing with people, you know, if they see that you're on a certain label, they'll pay more attention sometimes. But if somebody's on paper and plastic, well, then they're more likely, all those paper and plastic kids or people are going to hear who they are, you know what I mean, rather than doing it themselves. You can get it out there, but I just think with some kind of a name behind you, it helps if you're trying to reach more people.
What about touring? Are you guys planning on doing any tours coming up?
There's no plan to do like a long tour, but we are in conversations with doing stuff outside of Chicago. I mean, as far as like Minneapolis and
Milwaukee, you know,
St. Louis,
Midwest to start with.
Yeah.
In fact, my frame of mind right now is we probably need to play out of town more right now than we need to play in town, because we've done quite a bit of that in this first couple of years. So we need to start concentrating on you know, getting out of town a little bit.
And what's one of the craziest things you guys seen probably within the past year, a live show or Death in Memphis?
The craziest thing we've seen in a live show.
Wow.
For Death in Memphis.
For Death in Memphis.
Well, I can't answer that one. I haven't had any. I have other crazy things I've seen outside of the show.
I don't know, really. I haven't done anything crazy except for forgetting what we were supposed to be playing.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe during a show. Like,
we were at that show at Liars Club. We did that little thing about shots.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Well, we tried that once before.
And one too many shots, and we forgot to play the rest of the song.
We came into the rest of the song. It's not normally there. It's not a part. We kind of just did it just to prove to ourselves that we could do it. Last time, it was totally off the cuff, and it went horribly.
I think... I really haven't seen much that I could, you know, tell some, like, wild, crazy story about. But I think one of the really cool things that seems crazy to me is the opportunity, some of the opportunities we've gotten just being in a band, being in this band a couple of years. You know, like Scott, our bass player, joined the band last August, June or July. And then we opened for the Hold Stay at Riot Fest last year. And it was. I think that was a crazy night for him because, you know, he joins the band and he's in the band a month and there's like a sold out show at Cobra and he's like, he comes up to me and he goes, "Did you see all the people in there?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah. I mean, what did you expect?" So I think the response has been crazy. I'm really happy about it. You know, that's pretty nuts to me.
And what do you guys think about doing a full length?
A full length is in the cards.
Yeah, I mean, I keep writing songs. I think I have enough for like two full lengths. But we're doing EPs. The plan right now is just to get a little out there at a time. So,
steady stream of release.
So we got the first EP, then we do this EP. I think what we're talking is doing another EP and then releasing that as a full length on vinyl
with more tracks.
We'll do a full length after that, you know.
I think we live in an attention deficit generation. So the plan with the EPs was you know, kind of came from me is that, you know, regular releases, not so far apart, short little blasts, get people's attention and keep it. I think it's hard to release a full length from the get-go and have people sit down and devote the time and listen to the whole thing. It's not like it was when I was a kid where you went out and bought a record and you went home and sat down and read through the liner notes and really, like, absorbed the whole record. Unfortunately, it's attention deficit right now, and so you just got to keep hitting them. One, two, punch.
I agree. I definitely think it's a different generation because there's so many different media outlets, and you can switch from one website to another website, so that's an interesting take on it. To grab the attention.
I think, too, like a lot of people, unfortunately, I don't think a lot of bands are looking at the full length in the way they used to, where the full length record had a feel and it had a theme and it had something going on. I think a lot of people like to pick and choose. So they go online and they go to those websites and listen to a song and they go, yeah, I like this one. I'm going to buy that one. And I like these three, so I'm going to buy those. So as a whole, the full length album is a little tougher sell for people because they're buying an entire package and they're paying for it.
And when you guys mentioned vinyl, what do you guys feel? Do you guys feel that the vinyl is almost what's saving music as an art form? Because there's a lot of different views on that.
I don't know if anything is saving anything these days. You know what I mean? Like the music itself, I think, is saving it. But I think as far as vinyl goes, there's a lot of people that are dedicated to it, and it's a cool product. If you put out vinyl, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are interested in it. They're definitely more interested in something higher end and quality like that than they are a CD.
Vinyl's expensive these days, too.
It is expensive.
So it's easier to get your music out there, like with like an MP3 or on CD. I mean, if you're looking for somebody who wants a collector's item on the shelf, then that's fine. But if you want to get your music out there, that's not the way to do it.
What about cassette tapes? I've seen cassette tapes in the past few years. Just
I don't know back. What that's all about. I don't know
well,
what the cassette
if you
tape
can find a
about.
Cassette player.
Yeah, right. I drive a 98 Lincoln, and it's got a cassette player. It's still a cassette.
I just came up with a plan right now. I think the big plan for Death in Memphis is to bring back the 8-track. We're going to come out with a full length on an 8-track.
Why not go all the way? You're going to put out 8-track and floppy disks.
Again, you hear it first on Ryan's Suitcase.
Yep. There's your exclusive.
And any upcoming shows you guys are having the works or have planned for sure?
We are playing, we're doing a big benefit car show down in Joliet on September 5th called Vets Fest. It's going to be all of Chicago Street in Joliet. And then I think it's the 27th of September, we're going to open for the Vibrators at Redline Tap.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. That's great.
25th.
What?
25th.
Let me look right now.
It's yeah, we got 25th. We're checking this out. I don't think it's the 25th. We're checking this date right now to confirm, because I got the email like first thing in the morning and I text everybody in the band. I'm like, can you do this date? And they're like, yeah. And I came back and I went, oh, it's not that date at all. It's a different date. It's a Saturday.
It's the
26th. It's the 26th of September.
All right.
Saturday, the 26th of September.
There you go, Brettley. If you're listening to this podcast, I just got the date right. You're welcome.
And if anybody wants to go out and get your music, what would be the best way for them to do it?
Right now, I need to get the PayPal set up. They can get it through, should be able to get it through Bandcamp here in the next couple of days.
Hit up any of us on,
if you just want to, for now, if they just want to hit us up on Facebook, we can point them in the right direction as to, you know, what we have done.
We'll meet you at the nearest McDonald's.
Dude, I drive all the country, so I seriously will come and meet you somewhere.
All right. You hear it again in Ryan's suitcase. You can get a band member to come out and give
you a your house. You only have to make me a pork chop or something. It'll be fantastic. We'll have some beers and pork chops, and I'll bring you a disc.
Wow, that's actually a good deal.
My high school guidance counselor said that I should have something to fall back on, but I don't know. I'm coming up with plans right now that seem like this music thing is going to work out.
All right. And one last question I'd like to ask everyone. What would be your superhero power if you could have one?
Invisibility.
And why?
Because you could put it to all kinds of great uses. The possibilities are endless there.
I was told once that if they would want to be invisible so they can live for rent-free in random apartments.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one right there. I was thinking more in the sexual terms, but the free...
Hey, are you there?
Yeah, dude, we lost you somehow.
Yeah. The last thing I got was thinking in sexual terms.
Gotcha. Okay. you're back to recording and everything's good?
Yep, we're all good.
All right, Paul, you're up.
What did I say?
Mind control?
Well, my superpower would be mind control, so I wouldn't have to really argue with people or anything. I'd just do what I told them to do.
I said I wouldn't be in a band with Paul if he had mind control, but then I guess I would, wouldn't I?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, you know, people always say they would like to clone themselves so they could start a band where everyone agrees. I would just have mind control.
All right. Well, thank you, guys.
We got to get Larry's superpower.
Oh, yeah.
That's all right.
Come on, Larry.
Everyone's got to say it.
I don't want any superpowers because I don't want to have egos like these two.
All right, so your superpower would be never have a superpower.
Yeah, that works for me.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you, guys. This is Death in Memphis with Ryan's Suitcase. And anything you guys want to say before we end it?
We love you. Thanks for having us on. Check us out on Facebook. And we'll see y'all soon.
Buy lots of CDs.
Yes, please.
Come see us play. We love to see new faces.
Thanks, guys. You guys have a good one.
You too. Thank you.
No problem. Bye.
Bye.
And that was another amazing interview done by yours truly, Ryan from Ryan's Suitcase. So what did we learn today about Kickstand Promotions, Productions? Whatever. But look it up. Kickstand Productions, Promotions. They do a lot of shows in the area. And I also like to end all podcasts with things that I hate. So, what do I really hate? I hate this. I hate when you're at a traffic light and you're going to turn left and it's got a green arrow. And they wait. What are they waiting for? You go. Now you're supposed to wait a second. I get that. But 5 seconds? Way uncool. Those people have a special place in the underworld. Just for them. So if you do that, look yourself in the mirror and say, not cool. put your name there, and then change your life around. So this is Ryan Suitcase. If you want to contact me, ryansuitcase@gmail.com. Other episodes coming up are going to feature Caitlin Kelly, improv and stand-up comedian, and also another interview with another band for Ghost Sector, another Chicago punk band. They're amazing. Ogre Fest is coming up. Check it out. It's going to feature the Boll Weevils and Hospital Jobs, which is members of the Copyrights. If you don't know who the Copyrights are, you can say they're a Chicago band, but the members are all spread out, and they originated in Carbondale, which I got to see some of their first few shows. So again, this is Ryan Suitcase. Thank you for listening. Thank you for checking out these bands. And if you need anything, like, I don't know, just to talk to me, ryansuitcase@gmail.com. Please check out episode 1 as well. Bye, everyone.